Good morning, everyone. I'm John Huckenberry. So markets are poised to open positively this morning, but commodities prices are in the doldrums. Oil prices are hovering around $60 a barrel. They peaked above $61 this morning, but it's been a drop of 17% since last week, an enormous drop in the price of oil. And you know, we talk a lot about commodities prices, and particularly oil prices, and for 1,000 years, the commodities we've been concerned with were wood and coal. Oil came in about 100 years ago. Copper was really important if you're building things. But if we get away from oil, if we ever do, in the 21st century, carbon-based commodities will not be what we pay attention to. They're going to be other sorts of industrial age, 21st century commodities that we need to look at. And because it's something we're going to be dealing with for the next 200 or 300 years, Lisa Marganelli is here with us to sort it out. She's a regular Takeaway contributor who writes the energy blog for The Atlantic. She's the author of Oil on the Brain. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
We often talk to you about oil, but today we're not going to talk to you about oil so much, although this story is all about humankind's attempts to get off oil, but we've created more problems for ourselves, right?
Right.
So explain the products that we're developing to get us off oil and the new problems that we're developing.
Well, I think one of the things is, you know, we all love Prius cars. What we don't realize is that in not using oil, they use and they make use of another element called neodymium. It's a rare earth metal. And neodymium is used in the little motors that run the Prius. It's also used in basically every new car these days. All the little motors that run your power windows up and down are all neodymium. Neodymium, it makes permanent magnets, very, very lightweight permanent magnets.
And you need these magnets to run the electric motor that turns the wheels,
right,
in the engines. And you don't need that much of it because, you know, neodymium is a lot like something from this Disney movie here.
Dust.
Dust?
Dust.
Yup. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I mean, Lisa, we checked. It actually looks like pixie dust, neodymium, right?
It does. It does. I got to see some of it, and the ore is actually kind of a violet color, sometimes a little bit rose, sometimes gray, but it's this eerie sort of very, very fine powder before it's then turned into a metal or a magnet.
All right, so what's the problem with neodymium? Is it hard to get? Does it create problems when you mine it? Is it rare? What's the deal?
It's called a rare earth metal. In fact, rare earth metals are not all that rare. What is rare is to find deposits of them that are easy to get out of the ground and that are not filled with all sorts of radioactive byproducts like thorium. So there was a deposit in the U.S. that was mined from the 40s onward. And up until the early 90s, it produced basically all of the world's neodymium. It's called Mountain Pass. It's in California. And then gradually, China opened up its own deposits of neodymium and took over the market. They were producing it much more cheaply than the U.S. was. Neodymium is pretty hard to produce in the U.S. You have to have a lot of environmental safeguards on it, obviously, just to run a mine and then to deal with what radioactivity there is around it. What has happened is that China now controls maybe 98-99% of the world's supply of neodymium. And this U.S. mine is gradually coming back online. But one of the things that analysts say is, look, if we want to have more electric cars, more hybrid cars, we're going to need more neodymium. And we have to ask ourselves whether we're trading a dependence upon oil, that where we're dependent upon basically 160 different kinds of crude oil from around the world, to neodymium that's available basically from one or two places on Earth.
All right, so there's a price issue here because as the demand goes up and if the supply is, as you say, restricted, you know, we're back in the same problem of, you know, $140 a barrel oil. The price is just going to spike and we aren't going to get any sort of cost savings. But it sounds to me there's very little that's green about getting neodymium.
It depends. You know, mines are not inherently green and and, you know, in the U.S., we don't want the mines in our backyard.
Right.
But the question is that it all comes from somebody's backyard. And so this is coming from someone in China's backyard where there are fewer environmental controls.
What's the potential for recycling rare earths and, you know, these 21st century minerals like neodymium?
I think it's very high. In fact, you know, as we go into these, you know, new types of cars and things, we're going to have a whole range of strategic minerals that we're dealing with, including, for example, cobalt that's used in the batteries, lithium that's in, you know, there's big supplies of lithium around the world in different places, but we're going to want to conserve all of these minerals. There's coltan in our cell phones. All of these things come from areas that to some extent may have conflict around them now or could in the future. We're going to need to think about how we recycle the car even before we build it.
Right.
We're going to need to keep that stuff circulating. So you'd want to think about who owns it. You know, right now, batteries are a commodity. You buy them really cheaply and you throw them away. But what if we said, okay, you know, the auto company owns your battery and they need to take it back when it's done and they need to recycle it. Does that change the kind of minerals that they use? Does that change the price point at which they can provide the battery? Does that change the whole economy of the batteries and whether or not we have a battery industry in the U.S.? All of this stuff, we need to start rethinking how we really supply and use and recycle these minerals, because we can't just think of sending them to the landfill.
And just imagine in the future on the Wall Street Journal, you know, page, if it even exists, will be neodymium futures. Who knows? We'll be able to trade those. So Lisa Marganelli, regular contributor, writes an energy blog for The Atlantic. Her book is Oil on the Brain. Maybe your sequel should be Neodymium on the Brain. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks.